Amen. I trust you're there in Matthew chapter 26. I'd just like to say thank you, church, and thank you, Pastor, for having me here this weekend. It's been a great time to be able to get to know you guys, spend some time with you guys, and enjoy the beautiful weather of Florida. And we've truly enjoyed it. And just about a week and a half ago, I was up in Massachusetts, so you can kind of understand why I'm enjoying this so much. Also, I should probably say thank you to Brother Kevin Beesaw. He's got to take me to the airport tomorrow morning for an early morning flight. So he's got to get up early and can't sleep in. So thank you for that as well. And we're so thankful to have this time together and just be able to share a little bit from the Word of God with you guys this evening. Let's go together to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this day, Lord, and this time that You've given us to be able to gather and to be able to worship Thee and praise Thee. I pray that would be with us this evening. Pray that would be with me as I preach. Lord, help the words and the things that I say not to be my words, but Lord, I pray that Thy Spirit would guide me and direct me. I pray that would be with us as we read Thy Word and as we glean from it. Teach us, Lord, and challenge us, convict us, and help us to be more like Thee. And it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. I'd like to draw your attention to a phrase that we find there in verse 39, the beginning phrase, where the Word of God says, "And He went a little further." He went a little further. Now, we know this is a very important portion of Scripture. It's what happens in the life of our Lord and Savior just before He goes to the cross. And just before He goes and He does the greatest work ever known to mankind, the saving of our lost souls by the shedding of His blood. Just before that happens, we find Him here in this garden, the Garden of Gethsemane. And He's there with His disciples, and three of them particularly that He finds that He has with Him, Peter, James, and John. And as He's there, there's a phrase that is used to describe Him in verse 39. That phrase that I just read, "And He went a little further." But I believe that phrase is something that can describe not just the geographical location of our Lord and Savior in that garden that day, but I believe that's a phrase that we can use to describe the work of God from eternity past to eternity present to eternity future. That God is always a God that is going a little further. I wonder, has He gone further in your life than you deserve? I think the answer is absolutely He has. So oftentimes in our lives, though, maybe we look back at all that we've done. We look back at what the Lord has allowed us to do, what the Lord has allowed us to take part in, and we think, how could I be pushed any further? There's nothing left for me to do. Maybe we look back at the years of faithfulness and we think, well, I've done all that there is to do. But as we come to this portion of Scripture, and as we look to our Savior, Jesus Christ, and the great example He is for us, He helps us and He shows us to see that every single one of us, if we're going to be like Him, it requires us to go a little further for Him, just as He did. When I think about this portion of Scripture and I think about going a little further, I think about a little town in the north of England called Leeds. And Leeds is just a small town, and in 1940s, plans were drawn up to build a ring road that would go all the way around this little town of the city of Leeds. And the 1950s came, and construction started on that road. And then the 60s came and went, and work was still being done. Then the 70s, and the 80s, and the 90s. And it wasn't until 2004 that finally that little ring road that went around the city of Leeds was completed. And we think the road construction where we live is bad. But that's a place for over 50 years where work was being done on a single road that would go around that city, that would connect that city. And when I think about just that little road that was there, that was being worked on for so long, I think about you and I in our own lives and as we follow the Lord. And from the moment that we trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior till the moment we meet Him, there should always be work in our lives to be done to make us more like Him. There should never be a time in our lives where God is not working in us. There should never be a time in our lives where we are not seeking Him. There should never be a time in our lives where we are not desiring to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ. There should always be work done in your heart and in my heart to help us to be more like Him. You and I, when we look to the Lord Jesus Christ, we see Him as our great example, as a God that is going further. And as we look to Him, it should challenge us and convict us that we too, as His followers, we should be going further with Him as well. You know, Paul, as he came to the end of his life, he didn't think he had attained, he had reached all that there was to reach. He thought that there was still more to do. And if Paul thought that about his life, how much more is there for you and I to do in our lives? Whether we've been saved for 1 month, 1 year, 1 decade, 1 century, whatever it may be, every single one of us, we still have work to be done in our lives to make us to be more like Christ. That's what we have. You know, God, He's gone further for us, hasn't He? He went further than just creating us. Because what the Bible tells us, when Adam and Eve fell into sin, He promised us a Redeemer. But He went even further than that because He became God in the flesh. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law." Christ came to this earth. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 7, "But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men." He went a little further, didn't he? But he went even further than that, because he suffered the shame and humiliation of the death on the cross. The Bible continues in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 8 and says, "And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." He went a little further. But aren't you thankful he went further than just the death on the cross? Because the Bible tells us that he died on that cross, he was buried in a tomb, and then 3 days later he rose again from the dead. And aren't you thankful for a risen, living Savior? He's a God that has gone further. But can I say he went even further than rising from the dead? The Bible tells us that after he rose from the dead, he lived on this earth, and then he ascended up into heaven. And the Bible tells us that now, today, he is sitting on the right hand of the throne of God, and it says he ever liveth to make intercession for us. That today, Jesus Christ is going further for you and for me. And that there's not a day that goes by, there's not an hour that goes by, where someone is not praying for you, the Lord Jesus Christ. Even today, he is going further for you. Can I say he did not just go further for you then, and is going further for you now, but he's gone further for you in your own personal life as well. We were all born and he protected us until the time that we could come and know and understand the truth of the gospel. But he went even further than that, because he sent somebody to you to be able to share with you the truth of the gospel, didn't he? But he went even further than that. He sent his Holy Spirit to convict us and show us of our need of a Savior and our sin and our life and our great need of him. But he's gone even further than that because he's redeemed your lost soul. And if you know him as your personal Savior, he is still going further, because the Bible tells us that he is working in us to sanctify us, to make us more like him. And God is a God that is going further. He's going further for you, and he's going further for me. And you know, Peter, James, and John, they were supposed to go further with Christ, but they were sleeping. And every time he went back and he tried to find them as he advanced, he found them sleeping. And I think about my own life, how many times the Lord had something for me. How there's something God has called me to do. There's a thing that God would have for me to do. And how oftentimes he looks back and he finds me spiritually sleeping, not going further for him as he would have for me to go. And so as we look at Jesus Christ this evening, and we look at our great example that he is, may we be challenged and convicted to see how he went further. And how you and I, as Christians, as followers of Christ, we too can go further with him. Would you see what the Bible says with me here? To go a little further with Christ, we must recognize that he first went further in surrender. The Bible says these words in verse 39, if you'll read them with me. "And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will." Jesus Christ, he went further here in surrender. And you know why surrender to Christ is so difficult? Because it has far more to do with who you are than with what you do. See, you could be a part of every service of this church, every meeting this place has to offer. You could be a part of every outreach event and everything that is going on here. Never miss a beat and still not be fully surrendered to the will of God in your life. Why? Because it's not an equation. It's not something outwardly that we can do, but it's an inward choice of yielding our lives to Christ. And that's not something that happens at one time. It's not something that happens occasionally. It's something that must happen frequently in our life if we're going to go further with Christ. You know, in this portion of Scripture, and all throughout the Bible, we believe that Jesus Christ, when he was born, that he came to this earth and he became a man without ceasing to be God. And in this very moment here in Matthew chapter 26, as we come to this place, we know that Jesus Christ in this very moment is all-knowing God. That he knew the exact reason why he was coming. He knew exactly what was going to happen, that Judas Iscariot was going to come and was going to betray him with a kiss. He knew all the hardship and all the torment that he would have to go through. He knew the death that he would have to suffer on that cross. He knew that he would not stay dead forever, but would rise again from the dead. But before all of that ever happened, the Lord Jesus Christ, first he surrendered to it. He knew it, but he said, "Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thy will, thou wilt. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine will be done." The Lord Jesus Christ, he surrendered to it. I wonder, what is it that God has put in your life? Is it a hardship or a trial? You know, there's so often times in the Christian life that we go through difficult things, and we use that as a very reason to get angry with God. We use that as a reason to no longer follow the Lord, to go to a church, to no longer live the Christian life, because we think that for some reason that we should be exempt from those things. But it's oftentimes those very things, those hardships, those difficulties that we go through that the Lord wants to use for us to be surrendered to Him. I wonder, what is it? Is there a hardship or a trial that you're going, that's going on in your life right now? Are you surrendered to the Lord in it? Have you given God His will to be done in that? I wonder, maybe it's not even a hardship. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ in this moment, He went through a hardship and trial. He knew exactly what was going to happen. He says in verse 38, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death." He knew all the hardships and the trials He was going through. And in the midst of all of that, He still surrendered to the Lord in it. But maybe for you this evening, it's a work that God has called you to do. Maybe for you this evening, it's something that God has placed on your heart that He's designed for you and you alone to do. And I wonder, are you surrendered to it? See, you and I, if we're going to go further with Christ, we cannot go further with Christ if we have not surrendered our will to Him, if we're holding on. F.B. Meyer was a well-known British preacher. He was somebody that if you were living during the time he was living, you would have known exactly who he was. Maybe you would have visited his church. No doubt you would have read one of his sermons. And he speaks about the time that D.L. Moody came to town. He wasn't very fond of D.L. Moody. You know, D.L. Moody only had a fifth grade education. He wasn't very high educated. And F.B. Meyer, being the great English preacher he was very high educated, had his doctorates and everything that he would need. D.L. Moody, he spoke like a Midwest American, and F.B. Meyer spoke like a proper English gentleman. D.L. Moody didn't quite dress the same way that the English preachers of his time dressed. And F.B. Meyer looked at those things, and he was just a little hesitant about them. But we know D.L. Moody came to England, and he was there for about 2 years, and a great revival swept that country. But while he was there, F.B. Meyer talks about the time he met him. He didn't really want to go, but he went and he heard him preach. And after he heard him preach, him and D.L. Moody spoke for a little bit. And while they were there, D.L. Moody asked him a question that F.B. Meyer said completely changed the way he thought about the man. And it was just a simple question. D.L. Moody asked him, "Are you fully surrendered to the will of God for your life?" F.B. Meyer was a little taken back. He thought, surely this man knows who I am. Surely he knows the church I pastor. He knows everything that I've done. And yet he still asked me that question. He said years later from that, he began to write a book about surrender, a book you could read today. And he said as he was writing that book, the Lord brought him back to that time when D.L. Moody asked him that question. And he said the Lord gave him a thought from that about what surrender to Christ is really like. He said surrender to Christ is like this. God knocks on the door of your heart and you yield to Him all the places easily seen, like the living room or the dining room or the kitchen. And then He goes to your bedroom and He says, "I want what's inside of this bedroom." And you give to Him your bedroom, you yield to Him all that is there. Then He walks inside the closet in your bedroom, and He says, "I want what's inside of your closet." F.B. Meyer writes, "So we yield to Him our closet, and we give to Him all that is there." And then God, in the heart, in the room of the bedroom, of the closet of our heart, He climbs and He looks on the top shelf of our closet, and He finds a lockbox. And He grabs that lockbox off of that closet shelf, and He says, "I want my will to be done in this lockbox." F.B. Meyer wrote, "So often we say, 'No, Lord, You have everything else. You have the bedroom and the closet, the living room, the dining room, the kitchen. You have everything else. I want what's inside of that lockbox. What's inside of that box is mine. I have the keys to that.' And yet God puts His finger on that and He says, 'No, I want My will to be done in that.'" I wonder, is there something like that in your own heart tonight? You've given to God everything else that people could easily see. There's nothing anybody here could see from you that wouldn't show that you're surrendered to God with your life. But yet you know, and God knows, that there's something in the closet, in the bedroom, of the home of your heart that you have your finger on, that you won't let the Lord have. Can I say this evening, if we're going to go further with Christ, we must give the Lord what's inside of our lockbox. We must surrender it to Him. Can I say it is impossible to go further with Christ and keep your life for yourself? But it is also impossible to keep your life for yourself and then go further with Christ. You cannot do one and the other. It must be one or the other. What will it be? If we're going to go further with Christ, as He would have for us, if we're going to go further with God, as Christ went further for us in the Garden of Gethsemane, if we're going to do that, it can only be done through surrender. Is there something in your life that God has that He wants? Maybe it is a trial or a hardship. Can I say God wants His will to be done in that? Are you rejoicing in your circumstances? Maybe it's something that God has called you to do. You know it. You've heard the still small voice of the Lord speaking to you. And yet you've said, "No, Lord, I'll give You everything else but that one desire." Can I say God has His finger on that? And He wants His will to be done in that this evening. If we're going to go further with Christ, it can only be done in surrender. If we're going to go further with Christ, we must recognize that Christ too, he also went further in supplication. But you notice what the Bible says in verse 39? It says he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed. You know, supplication is not just prayer. Supplication, they say the difference between supplication and prayer is the fervency. And supplication is sincere and fervent prayer. It's the intensity with which you pray. And if anybody could ever be described as praying fervently and intensely in this moment, it was the Lord Jesus Christ. He's described in another portion of Scripture as praying so intensely that he was sweating great drops of blood. And in this moment, the Lord Jesus Christ, he went further in his supplication and his prayer. And prayer is a wonderful thing. As you know, it's far easier to preach than it is to pray. In fact, I'd probably say it's far easier to preach about prayer than it is to really get alone with God and to spend time on your face before him and to pray to him and to have a relationship with him. You know what prayer is? Prayer is a miracle. The fact that you and I, we can stand before a holy God and we can make our petitions known to him through the Son, Jesus Christ. The fact that you and I, we have access to that is a miracle. And yet, sadly, so many Christians today, they view prayer as the last resort. When they hear the words, there's nothing left to do, then they think to themselves, well, then I've got to pray. But can I say this evening, prayer is not the last work of the Christian. Prayer ought to be the first work of the Christian. Prayer is the most important work that you could ever do. And if you're going to go further with God, you can only go further with him on your knees in supplication. That's the only way. You and I, if we're going to go further with him, we must recognize Christ went further in prayer. He went further in prayer. Robert Murray McShane was a well-known Scottish preacher, and he said these words. He said, your prayer life is your Christian life. And I wonder this evening if there's a gauge of our Christian life solely based on our prayer life, what would that gauge read? Would it read that we've attained all that we need to in that area? Or would it read that you and I, we have further to go with God? I think we know the answer to that, don't we? Every single one of us, there's still further that we can go with God in prayer. Why? Why should we go further with God in prayer? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ, he shares with us those reasons. He shows us exactly why. The Bible says in verse 39 that he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father. He prayed and he said, oh, my Father. When he went further with God, he shows us his relationship with God. And you and I, when we go further with God in prayer, what happens is that God gives, we get through that prayer a relationship with God the Father. So we not just see him as the God of the universe, so that we not just see him as the God of our salvation, but we see him closely as the Father of all, as our Father, our Heavenly Father. And just the way that we have a relationship with our earthly Father, in a much greater way, God would desire for us to have a relationship with him as our Heavenly Father, to know him. I wonder, do you know the Lord? You and I, maybe we would say, I know God, I know him as my personal Savior, I've trusted in him, and I believe in him for my soul's salvation. What a wonderful thing that is. But I wonder, have you ever gone further with God in your relationship with him? Do you know him as a personal man, as a personal God? You and I as men, we can know him as a personal God, as being the Father God. And Jesus Christ, in this moment, he was faced with a hardship and a trial. He was able to pray, he was able to go further, and he was able to say, oh my Father. You and I, we can do the same thing. And no matter what we're going through, as we go further with God, we can have a relationship with him. So that in the midst of those trials, in the midst of those hardships, we can speak to him. And we can say, oh my Father. Not only does that happen when we go further with God in prayer, not only do we get a relationship with God, but the Bible says, it continues in verse 39, it says, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. When we go further with God in prayer and supplication, our will becomes his will. And that's what it's all about, you and I becoming in tune with the will of God. And if we're going to ever go further with God, we must recognize that in order to do so, we have to have our will in tune with his. And that's exactly what happened here. The Lord Jesus Christ, he knew exactly what was going to happen to himself. And as an example for you and me, he said, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And when you and I pray, when we go further with God, and we make our petitions known to him, as we get to know the heart of God, and we have a relationship with him, what ends up happening is our will does no longer becomes our will, but it becomes God's will. And we say, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt, just as the Lord Jesus Christ did. Why should we go further with God in prayer? Because we get a relationship with God. Why should we go further with God in prayer? Because our will turns into his will. What I mean by that is his will turns into our will. And we take what he would have for us to do, and we do it with our lives rather than what we would have. And he shows us that through our time of prayer with him. Why should we go further with God in prayer? Well, he continues in verse 41, and he says, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation." You know, prayer protects us from sin and from temptation. And God would desire nothing, the devil would desire nothing more than for God's people to live a life totally absent of having the Spirit of God in their lives. So that when people look at them, they don't see Christ, but they see themselves, and they see their sin, and they see the temptation of this world. But God has given us something, a great thing, to be able to be used as a defense against that. To be able to be used as a defense against the temptations of the devil. To be able to be used as a defense against the sin of this world. And what is that? It's prayer. He said, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation." He continues, not only should we pray to get defense from the sin and temptation of this world, but he says, "The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." When we pray, not only does it protect us from our sin and temptation, but it also battles our flesh. Every single one of us, the Bible says, the moment we trust Christ, we put off the old man and we become a new creature. We are born again. But there is still an old flesh living inside of us. And God has given us a weapon to be able to battle that flesh, to be able to do battle with it, and to not listen and submit to that flesh, but to listen to the new man that we are, the Lord Jesus Christ living inside of us. And that weapon that God has given to us is quite simply prayer. He says, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation." He says, "The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And you and I, we go through life, and we have to battle that flesh all of life. There will never be a time where you don't have to battle your flesh, and there will never be a time where I don't have to battle my flesh until the moment we meet our Savior face to face. So in the meantime, God has given us a great weapon to be able to battle that flesh, to be able to come out victorious in that battle, and it's prayer. Are you going further with God in prayer? You and I, if we're going to go further with God, it must be done in prayer. Prayer is not only God's invention, but it's God's intention for every one of His believers to be able to go further with God. We must go further in prayer. Prayer, our prayer life, a prayer life that is going further with God is a prayer life that is persistent. Notice how many times these things are said. He says in verse 39, "And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed." He continues in verse 41 and says, "Watch and pray." And verse 42, he says, "He went away again the second time and prayed." And verse 44, it says, "And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time," saying the same words. And you and I, our prayer life ought to be described as a persistent prayer life. That's how it ought to be described. And if we're going to go further with God, we must go further in surrender. We must go further in supplication. Here's another thing. If we're going to go further with God, we must go further in the Scriptures. Did you notice what the Bible says in verse 54 of Matthew chapter 26? Jesus Christ speaking here, and he says, "Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels?" And he says in verse 54, "But how then shall the Scriptures be fulfilled that thus it must be?" To go further with God in our spiritual walk, it can only be done through the Scriptures. We're to advance, we're to go further, not just in a knowledge of the Scriptures, but in obedience to the Scriptures. When Christ was faced with betrayal and with hardships, he immediately went back to God's Word. He immediately went back to the Scriptures, and he claimed them, and he knew them, and he believed in them. The Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Word of God, he recalled exactly what the Word of God said, and he said, "But how then shall the Scriptures be fulfilled?" You know, it's so important how far we go with God and His Word, because that will determine our response to the hardships and the trials and the outcomes of life. We find here in this portion of Scripture, as Jesus Christ is betrayed, two responses given to us. One is given to us by Peter, a man that was not going further with God, and another one given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And this is what we find. Would you read with me what the Bible says, beginning in verse 47? It says, "And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that had been betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Then said Jesus unto him, Put up again thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the Scriptures be fulfilled that thus it must be. Peter here, he's described, and we know that he was sleeping in the garden when God would rather have him gone further and prayed and had a relationship with him. And while he was sleeping, after that time happened, he is faced with the hardship too. No doubt his Savior is taken. His Messiah, his Christ is taken and is betrayed. And as he's faced with that, his response was to respond in his own power, in his own flesh, in his own might. And yet Christ, who was going further with God in that time in the garden, as he was faced with that same situation, his response was not in his own power, but his response was, "But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled?" To say, I know what the word of God says. I know the promises that God has promised, and I know this must happen. I know this must be fulfilled. And you and I, in our Christian lives, it's so easy to go through the motions, and days and months and weeks go by, and never going further with God and his word. And then, suddenly, out of the blue, something happens in our lives, and it takes us back. And almost immediately, we try to respond in our own power, don't we? In our own flesh, in our own wisdom. What can I do to stop this, to help this? But if we're going to go further with God, as we go further with him in the scriptures, what we find is when we're faced with those things, it's not a, what can I do? But it's a, who do I serve? Who do I know to be true about God? And I can trust in him during this thing. When we go through the hardships and the trials of life, if we're going further with God and his word, our response is not, what can I do in my own power? My response is, well, I know God's word, and I know the promises of it, and I will cling to him, and I will hold to him. You and I, as Christians, we're going to go through hardships and trials, aren't we? Every moment almost feels like we are going through something, a new thing that is difficult. But God has given us a great tool to be able to get through those, and it's his word. And if we're going to get through those hardships and trials with a response, with a character, with a reputation, with showing that shows us that we are not doing it on our own, but we are following the Lord in them, then it can only be done by going further in his word. Jesus Christ here, he went further in surrender. He said, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. He went further in supplication. He prayed. He said, oh, my Father, if it be possible. He went further in the scriptures. He said, nevertheless, how shall the scriptures be fulfilled? And lastly, he went further in the salvation of the lost. And if we're going to go further with God, we have to recognize his heart and how he went further, and we must commit to doing the same thing. Would you turn with me just one chapter to Matthew chapter 27 and verse 38? And the Bible says, then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their fingers, and saying, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priest, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. You see, right here, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is hung on that cross, and we know the story. We know that there's two thieves there, one on his right and another on his left. And he is there, and if anybody in all the history of the world ever had an excuse to not go further and sharing the gospel and reaching others with the love of Christ, in this moment, it was the Lord Jesus Christ. Surrounded by people that hated him, that were mocking him, that wanted nothing to do with him. And yet in the midst of all of that, the Lord was still able to reach out his hand. He still went further, and he saved one more lost soul before he died on that cross. That's a great example to us, isn't it? Why? Because this world is filled with people who think, well, I'm not going to go further with God anymore because the world is just too far gone. I'm not going to go further with God in sharing the gospel to the lost because the people are just too hard. They'll never listen. They think they know better than God. And yet, as we come to this portion of Scripture, what we see is that in the midst of the worst culture and society you could ever think of, Christ was literally surrounded by people that were betting on his garments, that were spitting on him, that were mocking him and making fun of him and were hating on him. And in the midst of all of that, he was still able to reach out and to save one more lost soul. What does that share with us, Christian? It shares with us that no matter what this world may be, no matter how dark or how wicked it may get, you and I, we still must be faithful to the gospel. You and I, we still must be committed to going further and sharing with the lost the truth of God's word. Why? Because the gospel is still the power of God unto salvation. And the Lord Jesus Christ is able to overcome anything the devil may throw his way. So we must go further and sharing the gospel. We must go further and teaching our children. We must go further in training others how they can share their faith with other people. We must go further in the salvation of the lost. Why? Because that's exactly what Christ did. If we're going to go further with God, we must go further in surrender. We must go further in supplication. How is your prayer life? If your prayer life is your Christian life, what does that look like this evening? We must go further in the scriptures. When was the last time you got alone with God and prayed and read His word, and not only just had a knowledge of it, but desired to obey it and to seek God's will and to do it? We must go further in the salvation of the lost. I wonder, do you hesitate? Do you stop in sharing the gospel with others because you think, well, there's no point, they'll never listen? Maybe you think that people are just too far gone, the world's just too wicked. The Lord Jesus Christ, He shattered all of that here, didn't He? And He shares with all of us that no matter what is going on, there is still someone that can be saved. There is still someone that desires the truth of God's word. And the Lord uses you and I to be able to share that with other people, doesn't He? As we close, and I think about this, if God is always advancing, which He is, and if we're to follow the Lord, which we are, then that means you and I, we too are also to advance in our lives. We're to go further with Him. Maybe you've ever been out in the woods, in a wooded area someplace, and you've seen a body of water. Typically, bodies of water are either one of two ways that are not the ocean. They're either staying still, and maybe you've come across a body of water that is still before in the woods or something like that. What happens when a body of water is still like that? It's particularly, maybe a small body of water. It grows stagnant, doesn't it? And dirty, unusable. It's filled with mosquitoes. It's unpleasant to be around. But as we come across bodies of water that are like rivers that are flowing, those are cool and crisp and refreshing, something that can be used. And I wonder, what does the world experience when they experience your Christian walk? Do they experience somebody that is stagnant, that is still? As they're around you, they get bit by spiritual mosquitoes? Or do they experience somebody that is advancing with the Lord? And it encourages them, and they see that God is real and that He is working in people's lives. You and I, if we're going to go further with God, we have to go further with God. Why? Because of all He's done for us. How He's gone further for us and how He's still going further for us. We must commit that we'll go further with God in our surrender. Maybe there is something like that in your life that you need to surrender to the Lord. In our prayer life, in our supplication, in our scriptures, in our salvation, seeking and saving the lost through the truth of God's word. Let's pray and then Pastor will come. Our Father, we thank Thee for this day and the truth of Thy word. Lord, we thank Thee for the great example that You gave to us and Your Son, Jesus Christ. And how so many years ago, as He was on His way to the cross, He stopped, and in that garden, He shared a beautiful example with us on how we are to live our lives following Him, going further, advancing with Him as He desires us to advance. Lord, I pray that would be with us. I pray that would convict one here this evening. Maybe they look back on their life and they see that from the moment they were saved, there really hasn't been much change since then in their life to make them more like Thee. I pray that would help them. Help them to see that for us to be able to honor and please You, for us to be able to live worthy of the salvation that we have, it can only be done by going further with You. I pray that would help us, Lord, if there is one here that knows that Thou hast called them to do something, pray that would grip their heart and help them to surrender that to You. And it's in Christ's name that I pray these things. Amen.